We're going to get started. Chodesh Tov, it's Adar, so it's very exciting. I'm not going to start singing and dancing, but yes, we're in Adar. So welcome everyone to the Rosh Chodesh Adar seminar. Now, if anyone has ever read any of Rav Soloveitchik's works, you know that the Rav is very famous for creating different prototypes of different personalities. Right? If you've ever read, there's Adam 1, there's Adam 2, there's Halachic Man. And there's one that you've probably never heard of, which is called the Ish Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Man. Okay, so you're probably wondering, what does a Rosh Chodesh Man look like? So in his eulogy for the Mizrahi leader, Rav Zev Gold, which is called the Seter Uvagaloi, he describes what it is, and he calls Rav Gold an Ish Rosh Chodesh, and he describes what that is. If you look in source number one, just read it, he says, the Ish Rosh Chodesh is so called because Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of the month, is a day whose inner sanctity is almost completely shielded from public view. Although on Rosh Chodesh one goes about his daily routine merely adding some additional prayers, the Torah groups it along with the major holidays, and its inner sanctity is fully revealed only within the precincts of the temple. Similarly, there are some personalities whose inner passion and sanctity are concealed beneath a solemn exterior or beneath a sparkling exterior. Okay, we discussed in a previous seminar that Rosh Chodesh has a sort of amorphous quality to it. And on the one hand, we say Hallel, right? We say Musaf, we read the Torah. But on the other hand, there's really no absolute Isser Melacha, right? We all took buses or drove to get here. And there's no specific mitzvot of the day. So we can easily forget that it's Rosh Chodesh. As opposed to all the other Chagim, the holidays, right? They shout out the other holidays. We don't forget that it's a holiday. It's very, very clear. It's in our face. But Rosh Chodesh stands on the side, technically a holiday, but very transparent and easily forgotten. And we even have trouble putting our finger on what it exactly it is that we're celebrating on Rosh Chodesh. Right? The holidays, we know what we're celebrating. It's an event, it's a miracle. Rosh Chodesh, it's not so clear. And we've begun every month here, slowly peeling away some of the inner messages of Rosh Chodesh, but they're hidden, right? They're hidden just like the moon itself is covered up at times. This teaches us the fact that all of Rosh Chodesh's deep inner lessons are hidden really teaches us an important lesson in and of itself. Okay, we all know the very famous Gemara about what happened when the moon and the sun were created. Right, it says in source number two, in Bereishit, Vayas Elokim et shnei hamarot hagdolim. Hashem created the two big luminaries. Et hamaor hagadol l'mshalat hayom, the big luminary, right, the sun, to shine during the day. Et hamaor katan l'mshalat halayla, and the smaller luminary to shine at night. Right, and the Gemara asks the obvious question. Right, it says Vayas Elokim et shnei hamaorot hagdolot dolim. Right, it says Hashem created two big luminaries, and then it goes on and it says what? Et hamaor hagadol, et hamaor hakatan. So if they're both big, why is one called the big one and one called the little one? Right. So the Gemara records this fascinating conversation between the moon and Hashem. Right. Amra yavarech lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The moon says to Hashem, Ribono shel Olam, efshar lishnei malachim sheyishtamshu beketer echad? Is it possible for two different kings to rule with one crown? Right? How can it be? There needs to be a hierarchy. It can never be that you have two different beings ruling on the same level. There can't be two bosses. Right? And that's really the world that we live in, that we know, right? There's always there's always that hierarchy. Who's the top of the business? Who's the second, right? There's always got to be this hierarchy. We have to show off what we've accomplished. And Hashem says to him, he says, no, that's not what it's all about. And he says, well, first of all, he says to him, Amarla, lichi metia tatzmich. If this is what you feel, that there really needs to be this hierarchy, so you go ahead and make yourself smaller. So what does the moon say back? Amar lefana ribono shalom, hoi ova amarti lefanecha davar hagun amita tatzmi. What, because I had a good argument, now I need to make myself smaller? So Hashem goes on to try to appease him, and he says, you know, you're still going to have a function. You're still going to have a role. It says the Jewish people are going to look to you as a role model. Every month, we're going to celebrate that the moon, and you're going to show them what the world is really about. And that doesn't really satisfy him. So Hashem goes on and says, he says, Likrei tzadikei bishmich. The tzadikim are going to be called after you. Yaakov HaKatan, Shmuel HaKatan, David HaKatan. All of the great Jewish leaders were katan, right? They weren't the ones who were in your face shining out, wow, I'm the most amazing person. No, they were the ones who were nechbal lekelim. They were modest. They were humble. And they're going to model themselves after you, the moon. Okay, so the truly great people shine on the inside. And if you think about it, the sun is very, very bright, right? You go outside and there's this bright, bright light. But the moon, right, if you go outside at night and you want to look at something, you have to look at the light of the moon, and that enables you to be able to look much more deeply. Now, interestingly enough, Esther, bringing us down to Adar, Esther is compared to the moon. Is this reverberating in a weird way? So in the source number 4, Gemara Megillah, says, Nechemya Omer Hadassah Shema. Right? Esther has two names. She's called Esther, and she's called Hadassah. Which name do we usually call her by? Esther, which is interesting because Hadassah is her Persian name and Esther is her Jewish name. V'lama nikrit Esther, why is she called Esther? Shehayu umot ha'olam korinota al shum Estaher. Because the nations of the world called her that because of the word Estaher. And Rashi explains, what's Estaher? Yareach, it's a moon. And Esther was yafek levana, she was as beautiful as a moon. Now, if I was describing someone as beautiful, I don't know if I would automatically think to call them as beautiful as a moon, right? So why is she dafka compared to a moon? It's because Esther didn't have outer beauty. She had inner beauty, right? We know in source number 5, it says Esther yirekroket haita. Esther was green. Okay, green is not beautiful, right? Esther was not beautiful. She, in fact, was probably kind of ugly if she had a green complexion, right? And yet, the Gemara goes on and says, v'chut shel chesed mashoch aleh, but she had this inner chen, this inner beauty that was inside her, and that's what attracted Achashverosh to her. If you look in source number 6, Vayehav HaMelech et Esther mikol hanashim, v'tisachin v'chesed lefanav mikol ha'betulot. He chose her all, over all of them because of that chen, that inner chen. As opposed to Vashti, who was out there and who was always flaunting her outer beauty, Esther was very internal. She was building herself inside. And we know that she was given the opportunity, before they went to Achashverosh, they were given all these opportunity to have all different royal makeup treatments. And she just took the basics. She didn't want that whole year-long process. She wasn't trying to accentuate her outer beauty. And even after she becomes queen, it doesn't go to her head. It says, when she goes to Achashverosh, it says, Tilbash Esther Machut. Esther dressed in royalty. And the Mefarshim ask, what does that mean? And some of them say it means that until that point, she never even put on the royal clothing. She was very humble. She became queen, but she still remained that same Esther. And only when she went in to go talk to Achashverosh to try to convince him to save the Jewish people, so she put on the royal clothes. But that wasn't who she was. Okay, so we've established that Esther is modest, but that doesn't mean that she negated herself, right? The most important message we learn from Esther is that one needs to build up one's inner self, look deep into oneself, and recognize our kochos and use those to help others. So Esther and Mordechai have what I think really is one of the most relevant and interesting conversations in all of Tanakh. I mean, it's my own personal critique on Tanakh. But what happens? Mordechai goes in to tell Esther about the decree of Haman. And Esther, of course, hears this, and she's very upset, and she's distraught, this, you know, terrible decree, but she doesn't think that she's going to be the one that's going to go and do anything about it. Like, she's little Esther, what can she do? Like, the same way as if Chas v'Shalom, any one of us heard about a terrible decree, we wouldn't think that we're now going to go and save the world, right? But Mordechai says to her, Vayomer Mordechai l'ashiv al Esther, Al tadami b'nafsheich limaleit bit ha'melech mikol ha'yudim. Don't you think that you can just go and run away, hide your head in the sand, and run away? If you're quiet at this moment, Hashem is going to still save the Jewish people. Don't let it go to your head. Don't have an ego and think Hashem needs me. No, Hashem doesn't need you, right? He'll find another way to save the people. But who knows? Maybe this is the reason why you were put in this place. And Esther accepts what Mordechai says to her, and she understands. She realizes, she understands that Hashem gave her a lot of inner kochos, right? She has this chen, she has this intuition, this wisdom. She was put into the palace, and she realizes Hashem gave all of this to her for a reason. She doesn't negate what she has, she uses what she has, but she realizes where it's coming from. And that's why right away, what does she do? She calls to the Jewish people to go do what? To fast, right? Because she knows that it's all taloy on that. It's all connected to what Hashem is giving them. And this is the message of Esther, and it's the message of Rosh Chodesh. Esther was truly a Gveret Rosh Chodesh. We'll make a new terminology. She was a Gveret Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh doesn't need to shout out to the world its significance with outward mitzvahs and commandments. Right? Its significance is where? It's in its hiddenness. And so it was with Esther. And this is a lesson for all of us as well. Right? We often struggle with this balance, right? It's sometimes, you know, maybe we feel that, you know, we have to not develop an ego, not think that we're God's gift to the world. And on the other hand, sometimes we feel like, you know, I'm nothing. What can I actually contribute to the world? And Hashem has given all of us really unique kochos. And we need to develop ourselves internally and the kochos, the talents that he's given us, in order that we, not to show up to the world, not to go out there and, you know, post it all on WhatsApp and Facebook and say, you know, look what I've done, all these great things. Like, that's what the world is about right now. It's like, you have to, every time you do something, let everybody know about it, right? That's what the world is. And no, we have to do things. We do have to take our kochos and use them, but we have to do it for the right reasons, and we have to be understanding where those kochos are coming from. It's not about us. It's about what Hashem has given us and how we're going to take those things and use them to contribute to the world around us. And Amir Hashem, we should all follow Esther's lead to work on this balance, and each and one of us can become a true Geveret Rosh Chodesh. So thank you very much. Okay, so we are going to start out the day with Rabbi Sam Shore. Rabbi Sam Shore is the program director here at OU Israel, and I have the unique privilege of working with him every day. Rabbi Shore his name precedes him wherever he goes, and I think for many years I've always heard the name, and then now I was given the privilege to actually work with him, and he holds true to his name. And he really runs everything that, you know, every time you come to anything that's going on here, he is behind everything that happens here. And he really, he teaches all over the place. He's been teaching around the world. Many, many people are students of Rabbi Shore, and they look to him as a mentor. He lives in Katzmon with his wife, Henny, and his daughter. And I will now call Rabbi Shore too.